listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to my couch, as I always do for you, Friday, 11 in the morning. That's, of course, Pacific Standard Time, where we talk about psychological stuff or any other kind of questions you may have for me. I'm your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. And as I always do, I ask you to email me if you want to respond to a particular show, some advice, give advice to somebody else, maybe an author I've had on the show, and give your opinion in any way, or if you want me to help you out. And you can find me at my website at drmichelletherapy.com. It's abbreviated. It's drmichelletherapy.com. Just DR. And, of course, you can email me, as many of my listeners do, on my it's my direct radio contact email address, which is docmichelle@AOL.com. That's doc, D-O-C, Michelle, that's two L's, at AOL.com. And today what I'm going to be doing is a free-for-all Friday. I've had a ton of emails from people who are writing me about advice. They need a lot of help with some questions they're having and stuff like that. So hopefully I can help you and just put it out there, by the way. If you'd like to call in live, please do it. Go for it. I'd like to hear from you. That number here live in beautiful Los Angeles, California, 105 degree Cali, is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. But I'd like to focus on a lot of these emails that you've written me, you know, about different things. Today we're going to cover, things like how to put out a decent profile when you're dating online. Because that's a, you know, that's a biggie. You know, there's all these suggestions on what to say and not what to say. And I'll help you out with that a little bit. Also, I have some information about codependency. Someone wrote me, what the heck is that? People tell me I'm codependent. All right, that's, you know, one of those psychological words that a lot of people throw around. I'll tell you kind of what that means and what that relates to. We're going to talk about gay relationships. Somebody wrote me in and said, what's up with that? How can I feel? What's going on? Why am I still in the closet? That kind of thing. Also, we're going to talk about ending relationships and the devastation we feel sometimes from being hurt or having to end a relationship that we've been in for a while and feeling guilty and all those kinds of things. So those are just a few of the subjects we're going to cover today. And again, if you'd like to email me here on the couch, you can do so at docmichelle@AOL.com, and I'll be happy to check out what you ask, and then maybe, yeah, I'll help you on the air. What the heck? Also, what's cool is you hear other people's stuff, and then you can relate to it if you may have the same issue, and if not, it's hopefully sort of entertaining and informative. How's that? All right, let's get started with the first email, because this is what I was telling you. This fellow, what's his name? Brian. Wrote me, he's trying to do online dating, and it's not working out too well for him, so I'm going to give him a few tips here. So he says, Dear Doc, I've sent out dozens of first contact emails to meet women and have gotten very few responses. I consider myself sort of good looking. I mean, not that bad. So I sent you a recent picture, and he attached a picture, and he's a good looking guy. He says, it's how I really look. dot, 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 not some old picture when I had hair and slim like some guys do when they lie online. So I guess this is a recent picture of you, Brian. And, you know, you're a good-looking guy. Hey, what can I say? I think I have a pretty good life. I'm ready to find the right woman and have some close relationships, I have had some close relationships, which have turned out bad. I went to therapy, learned that I tried too hard with people, and worked on my self-esteem. Good. Good for you. Anyway, I have a great job, own my own house, and think that I come off pretty good. What is going wrong?
Brian.
Oh, he says, P.S., I'm a 34-year-old straight guy. Okay, whatever. You know, rules or no-nos sort of apply to all online dating kind of sites. Doesn't matter, whatever sexual orientation you have. Okay, so he sent me a copy of a sample. I wrote him back, and I asked him to send me a copy of a sample email that he'd sent to one of his ladies who he was interested in. And no offense, Brian. I wrote him back, and I'm just laying this out on the air for you as well. It really broke nearly all the rules of first contact emails. I mean, there are certain rules, things you need to think about. So let me just give you a heads up on these things and some tips. Let me set you straight. Okay? First of all, something you did was you mentioned her physical appearance. Okay? My suggestion is not to jump right out there at the beginning. Never. Don't do it. You know? The reason why I say this, and this is not playing a game. It's just kind of mundane and yeah. Because hot people know they're hot. Besides, everyone else is telling them about how beautiful they are on the outside. Okay? See, so on the other hand, if you tell, like, a shy girl that she's beautiful right off the bat, you might scare her away. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So don't just come off like, wow, like you did. You are amazingly beautiful. That's, whoop. You know, she knows she's hot. I mean, it's always nice to hear you're beautiful, but don't make that like the first thing. Okay? What you have to do is you mention something about her profile that really intrigued you or made you admire her. Like, wow, that's so cool that you paid your own way through college while holding a full-time job. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of write down some of the information that she gave you about her accomplishments. Show that you really appreciate something special and that you did read her profile other than just her looks. You see what I'm saying? Come off like, wow, I'm amazed at how persistent you were to stick through your college training. Or whatever. Don't go to the while you're hot. Okay? Do not, Brian, cut yourself down. The most unattractive thing you can do is, well, if you happen to like my profile, please write me back. Don't be a wuss, dude. They're going to look at your profile if you send them an email. Just for curiosity's sake, let her pass her own judgment without getting the ball rolling with your own insecurity. Well, if you do like my, please write. She either will or she won't. Don't come off wormy. Wormy. All right. Also, don't mention what you'd like to do on your first date. On your first contact. I'd like to go out to dinner to something. Do you like this kind of food? And then I'd like to go to movie. Take things one step at a time. Okay? Don't even plan. I mean, I know you're really, you know, interested in this person. You're excited and you want to put it out there that you have plans and that you're together. But just take it one step at a time. Back off a little bit. Because the next thing you really want is for the person to reply to your email. Start small and build. Don't get it all out there. You got to start small. It's more intriguing to her, too. Not playing games. Just don't plan the whole, you know, life there. Don't plan the dates. Then when you get to know her a little more, you get to know her interests and stuff. Say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this sometime? Put it out there slowly. Always end with a question when you're emailing her. You know, people love to talk about themselves. Find something in her profile that you'd like to learn more about. Ask a question, right? You know? Yeah, okay, let's find something. She's in a book club or a movie club or something like that. What are your favorite books that you read this year? What's your favorite book of all time? Did you see this movie? What did you think about it? That kind of thing. Okay? And, you know, as with all ideas and suggestions and stuff, you know, you can waver it over time. But some of these ideas hopefully will work for you. They'll work well. You know, just don't be condescending to yourself. Be okay about who you are. You don't sound like you're a narcissistic ice. You sound really very nice, and you sound pretty modest. All right? So those are just some ideas, because in your email you sent to her, those are some of the no-nos you did. So I'm just trying to help you out, guy. All right? This is Dr. Michelle. We're on the couch here, and you can email me a question for advice, and you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship, of course. But this is for, you know, just suggestions and, you know, so entertainment as well. Not ha-ha like let's laugh at people. I don't do that. Not nice. Don't go there. I want you to not feel that people are going to judge you. That's what this is all about. This is anonymity. All right. Dear Dr. Michelle, she wrote me at docmichelle@aol.com. Oh, this is a guy. My girlfriend said that I need to go to a codependence group because she feels that I'm too, as she puts it, codependent on her. She tries to explain it, but gets mad at me when I tell her not to worry about it. So I thought I would ask an expert. Can you figure out if I'm really codependent? Thanks, Kevin. I don't know if you're codependent. I don't know you. But let me just give you some background on it and maybe things you can think about. And you can answer these questions. Do you do these things? And if you are, then yeah, they have great codependence groups that can help you out. So you might just check it out. Okay. Here's the deal. Codependency started out or originally kind of referred to the spouses or partners of alcoholics, right? And the ways they attempt to control the effects of the other person's dependency on alcohol or drugs, right? So if you go to Al-Anon groups, you'll learn a lot. You'll hear a lot about codependency, you know, family members of alcoholics who try to, you know, sometimes they call them enablers. You've heard those statements, things like that. Okay. But the thing is that more recently the term has been used to refer to any relationship in which a person feels incomplete without the other and tries to control him or her. Okay? So ask yourself if you do any of these things, Kevin. All right? Do you have a fear of change or growth in your girlfriend? Do you fear that she's going to learn something new or be out with friends a lot or take up a hobby or do something? Do you have a fear of change or growth in her? Are you paranoid about her going out and about or who she's going to be with? See, that's when a lot of times people will start to say, God, you're so codependent, because you start kind of controlling and fearing. So do you look to the other person for affirmation and self-esteem? Is she your world? Is she the one who's, you know, really makes a difference for your own self-esteem? Yeah? Do you constantly need affirmation from her, Kevin? Do you? Does she help build your self-esteem all the time? Got to find that within. You got to be okay with who you are and find your stuff and be okay with who you are, not with who someone else thinks you are. Okay, ask yourself this one. Do you sometimes feel unsure when you end and the other person begins? In other words, there's no boundaries. Do you mesh with her too much? Well, if she feels this way, then you must feel this way. Or if she's thinking this, then you must feel this way. Vice versa. You know what I'm saying? All right. That's that. You know, that happens sometimes. You just meld into someone so much. You got to keep independent and draw big boundaries. So that's a biggie for people who are codependent, as they say. Do you have an exaggerated fear of abandonment? I mean, you know, come on, kind of look at your past. You see what I'm saying? You've got to look and see if you were, you know, abandoned. I don't mean to, you know, go back into psychodynamic issues and all that. But, I mean, you got to feel real about your fear of abandonment. Check it out. Do you manipulate her? Do you play those psychological games with her so you can manipulate her and keep her under your control? You know, codependent. All right? See, a healthy relationship is one that allows for the person, the individuality, and the growth of both people. Okay, it's open to change. It allows both people to express their feelings and needs. That's a healthy relationship. Respect. See what I'm saying? You got to loosen up a little bit because it's freaking her out. And you just might lose her. And I don't think you want to do that, Kevin. I don't think. Maybe you do. Maybe you're doing this because this is a pattern of yours. But that's a whole other issue. So think about what I said. Okay, so that's the deal about codependency. All right, we're going to move on. This is Dr. Michelle with you, by the way. And if you would like to email me a question, get some advice, suggestions for friends, or comment on some of the listeners' issues or what I have to say, you can do so at docmichelle@AOL.com. My website is drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com. All right, let's see, which one? Aha, here we go. Doc Michelle, a lot of the answers to your answers seem to assume we're talking about heterosexual relationships. What about same-sex relationships? Do the same principles apply when you talk about communication, sexual compatibility, respect, assertiveness, and similar issues? Thanks, Doc. Just came out and feeling better. All right, good for you. Hope you're feeling better. That's good. Okay, everybody has the same needs. Yes, yes, and yes. There, I've answered all your questions. Everybody has the same needs for love and safety and commitment. Gays, lesbians, bisexual, nobody's different. We're all alike. You know, all the evidence suggests that same-sex attraction, well, rarer than other sex attraction, is just a different orientation. It's not a perversion. It's not anything. You know, it's real. Okay. There are some differences. Now, let me just say, let me just be real with you here. Since both partners are of the same sex, the characteristics of that gender may be exaggerated in the relationship. You know? That can be really nice. Other times it can be experienced as a problem. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Characteristic male patterns, right? Men have testosterone sometimes. You know, what drives them is sex. There's a lot more sexual promiscuity in the male gay community than the female community of lesbians. This just is. It's called testosterone. It's called men. Okay? There's more anger. There is more violence. It's the way men are characteristically. All right. Partners in same-sex relationships, they have to deal with the stress of homophobia. You know that. You just came out. You're feeling better. Feeling unable to be open about your relationship with friends and colleagues and family, it can leave the same-sex couple isolated and deprived of a support network. People are paranoid. You know, homophobia, ew, don't get it. You know, our country's becoming more open-minded about it, is really. But there's still homophobia. And here's the thing. It can also affect the self-esteem of same-sex partners, making the normal ups and downs of a relationship all the more difficult. So, you know, it's added stress. Added stress makes issues that you would have with your lover even more charged. It makes them heavier, makes them worse. Any issues we have, if we're living a tough lifestyle that is subject to public scrutiny, any kind of an issue we have, whatever it be, stress with work or, you know, whatever, it's going to be added on. And by the way, homophobia can affect non-romantic same-sex relationships, like two female friends, two brothers, or even fathers and sons. They may feel reluctant to express their affection and caring for each other because they don't want to be thought that they're gay. You see what I'm saying? You know, my cousin's gay, and if I hug her, that she's, people are going to think that I'm a lesbian. Yeah. Come on. You see what I'm saying? So it does affect the family a lot of times, and it's a little uncomfortable, but I hope I helped. You know, there are really no differences, but there are added stressors on, you know, gay couples, bisexual, and oh, yeah, and I'm talking about openly gay lesbians. There's a lot more stress because they're dealing with homophobia in society still. It will always be like that, I think. I mean, you know, what can I say? All right, let's move on. Here we go. By the way, if you want to write me, email me, questions, would you like some advice? Would you like to tell someone something that they need to know? You can email me here because we are doing the free-for-all Friday from my listenership and answering questions written onto docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL.com. And well, I have a whole slew of them, and I try to get to as many as I can in a show so that I can help you out. And if you, you know, would like to comment on some of the suggestions I made, go for it. I'd love to hear from you. It's great. And this is Dr. Michelle with you, as I always am at this time on Friday, 11 in the morning, that's Pacific Standard Time in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Don't worry, moving on. Here we go. Dear Doc, I hate ending relationships, even though I look forward to summer vacations. Saying goodbye to friends in May is miserable. Breaking up with romantic partners never seems to go well. A lot of my friends have gone off to college. So how can I get over feeling like this and depressed all the time? Because there have been relationships that have ended in my life and many losses, and I feel very overwhelmed sometimes. All right. You know, saying goodbye is really one of the most avoided and feared experiences. You know, it's really tough. It's really tough. We don't have really any clear-cut rituals for ending relationships or saying goodbye to, you know, others. In this culture. Other cultures do. And, you know, I won't go into what they are and all that. It's just like we're dealing with, you know, coping with loss. And how do we do that? And there, you know, there are stages here in psychology. We encourage people to, you know, go through grief stages. And there's a Kubler-Ross model, I believe. It's DABDA, right? D-A-B-D-A, which, you know, it is valid in a certain sense. DABDA is like denial, anger, bargaining, depression, finally. And then, you know, you come to acceptance, finally, with it. You know, we can never always accept. But, you know, sometimes we just have to get through some of these things. So those are just some suggestions for, you know, kind of like feeling bad at the end of a relationship. It's normal to feel bad, no matter what it is. Someone breaks up with you, someone leaves you, they're moving out of town. You know, a lot of times parents divorce, and one of the parents gets custody, the other one moves. It's really tough, ends of relationships. And of course, let's talk about people who pass away in our lives. How do we mourn that properly? How do we get through it? So here's some normal feelings that we experience when a relationship ends. There's no right or wrong feeling to have. We each react to the end of a relationship in our own unique way. But there's some common patterns sometimes, like denial. I talked to you about denial. We can't believe it's happening to us. It's sort of our first reaction. We can't believe that the relationship is over. We're totally in denial. Our brain hasn't realized it yet. Denial. Don't want to deal with it. And then we get angry. We get angry for people leaving us. And we get enraged at whoever for shaking our world. And leaving is hurt. But, you know, that's what anger is. It's hurt deep down inside. But we get angry. We get fearful because we get frightened by the intensity of our own feelings. And that sort of, when we become fearful, then we fear that we may never be loved or loved, you know, again, and start getting paranoid about that. We get frightened that we're never going to survive our loss, but you will. You know? Right? What's that old Peggy Lee song? Is that all there is? One day he went away. I thought I'd die, but I didn't. I moved on. Where the heck did I come up with that? Damn, I'm so depressed now. That's a... Woo! Okay, also what we do, self-blame. We blame ourselves for what went wrong with... Especially in relationships or if parents leave us when we're younger. If parents have divorces. We replay those relationships over and over and over. All these little flashbulb moments, as they're called, you know, of situations or arguments, and you think, oh, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that. Stop beating yourself up. Self-blame. Yeah, maybe you could have handled it differently in the instance, but the fact that they went away, unless you're an abusive creep, physically, verbally, get over it. If you were abusive, then you need to get help. And you do need to blame yourself for pushing somebody away. Generally, when relationships end and they've been pretty healthy, stop beating yourself up. You go through sadness. You may cry. You know, I have had clients who say, I can't cry. Okay, that's all right. But you're sad. I can't cry. For some reason, it's not coming out. Okay, that's all right. Find out why you're withholding that. What's so scary? You feel like you're never going to stop crying? Yeah, you will. Sometimes we also feel guilty, particularly if we choose to end a relationship. If we choose to end something, we know it's not going right. They don't even have to be really bad people. But we want to change our lives in some way. We don't want to hurt our partner. We don't want to stay in a lifeless relationship. We get guilty. Get through it. What do you want for your life? What do you want for your future? I always tell people with children to really, really consider this. Think about the kids first. Okay. And again, if you're in an abusive relationship, no, don't stay there. Get out. Verbal abuse, physical abuse. If you have verbal abuse, you get couple therapy. If you have physical abuse, you have that person get therapy and you get the heck out. Get out. Go to relatives. Go to friends. Shelters. Whatever. Get the hell out of there. Okay. Also, we feel disoriented and confused. Right? We don't know who or where we are anymore. Our familiar world has been shattered. It's familiar. Everything's always in order. When things are taken away from us, we lose relationships, our world feels really shattered. So it's really hard to deal with. We've lost our bearings. You'll get back. Okay? Sometimes we have hope. You know, if it's not someone who's passed, if it's someone who has broken up with us, sometimes we just hold out for hope. We hold out. We don't want, it's still like denial in a way. Sometimes we bargain, which goes along with it. Sometimes when our partner wants to go away, we plead with them. I'll change. I promise. I'll do this. I'll do that. Yeah, it's a normal thing. And finally, you know, like I told you, about the DABDA model. At the end, there's acceptance, which is relief, because we can be relieved that there's an ending to the pain, the fighting and the torment, and the lifelessness of the relationship. If you are in an ongoing relationship, which has been troublesome, you know, there is a relief at the end of the tunnel, you know? And while some of these feelings may seem overwhelming, they're all normal. So if you're having a rough time getting over a relationship, the loss of a relationship. These are some of the things you may feel. Let yourself feel them. These are normal reactions. They're necessary to the process of healing so you can eventually move on. You've got to engage in other relationships. But be patient with yourself. You can't just snap out of it. You know, get over it. You know, losses in relationships we've had for a while really rock our world, not in a good way. So there you go. This is Dr. Michelle with you. We're doing Free for All Friday, as we always are. This time, 11 o'clock in the morning, we started. Pacific Standard Time here in Cali, where it's been hotter than hell this week. I mean, here in this part where the studios are, beautiful LA Talk Radio, the most listened to internet talk station in the world. It's been about 100 degrees here. Luckily, Sam, our owner and program director, keeps the studios cool, which keeps the hosts cool. But sometimes I don't get so cool when I read some of these emails, which I'm about to. Oh, God. Okay, here we go. By the way, you want to email me? Cool. Do so. DocMichelle@AOL.com. If you have questions or comments, you'd like to, comment about some of the, things that people have written. I'd love to, hear from you. If you have, help, you need help, email me. And we'll go over it. What else? Okay, let us move on. By the way, if you want to call in live, it is cool. I will take your calls. I'd like to focus on some of the emails that have been written to me. But if you want to call, no guilt here. Really, you can do so. 323-203-0815. 323, beautiful Los Angeles area code. 203-0815. Here we go. Dear Doc, even when we're communicating well in other areas, my partner and I often get bogged down when it comes to talking about sex. I often feel we have very different expectations in this area. Okay. And I've covered this before. And I'm not, listen, I'm happy to talk about this again because a lot of people, tell me that they're close and all that, but it's really awkward when they talk about what they'd like from each other sexually. That's a problem with a lot of couples. We don't communicate what we like because we don't want to burden someone else. We don't want them to think we're too way kinky if we want to, change up something. Because sometimes at the beginning of a relationship, we're all on really good behavior. We want to please the other person if we like them. And then we decide we want to start being more of ourselves. So here we go. I cannot communicate with my partner about some of the sexual desires I have very well. When I've brought some things up that I would like, she starts to turn her back and say, I don't want to talk about it. What can I do? I'd like to have more sexual compatibility. Thanks. And this is from Brad. Here we go. It's important for you to be aware of your own feelings. You've got to feel comfortable in her presence, and she's got to feel more comfortable in your presence. All right? You got to trust your gut. So at some particular time, you have to sit down with her, make some time, sit down with her. Be nice to be in a more intimate setting, not in a big public place. But if she freaks out or walks away, it may be better in a public place. But I mean, if it's a small intimate place, that might be a good idea where you can talk quietly, peacefully, so no one else will listen. All right. You got to communicate what you really want sexually. You got to express what you enjoy and also what you're not comfortable with. That's what you have to do. You just tell her what you would like. Tell her what your limits are. Defend your limits. Okay? And this goes for women a lot of times. When you say no, don't give mixed messages. Oh, no. If you're turned off to it, say, this is what I don't like. Same with you guys, but it's more prevalent with women. You have the right to respect, be respected by your partner. You're not responsible for your partner's feelings or reactions. If you are being totally honest, this is what I would like to do. Or when you do this, it freaks me out. I'm not into it. Honesty. Okay? You both have a responsibility in preventing unwanted sexual contact. Okay? See, what happens a lot of times, again, guys have to recognize that no means no. All right? Even if you think that she's saying non-verbally, yes, sometimes women don't express themselves. You got to express yourself, just what you like, what you don't like. But you got to open up to her and tell her what you would really like. All right? You've just got to be open and say, this is what I'd really like from you. Does this work for you? You always walk away and you always say, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Well, I really would like to talk about it because this is a really important part of our relationship. I love you. I want to make love to you. But there's some things that really turn me on, and I want to tell you what they are. So please, let's talk about it, because it's, I feel awkward. Now I'm thinking about when we're making love, I'm thinking about the things that you don't like, and I'm thinking about the things that I do like, and I'm thinking too much, and I just can't perform anymore. See, that's where it goes. So, you know what I'm saying? So you really have to work through the honesty, sit down. Or, you guys, if please, beg her, sit down with a sex therapist. Somebody who can listen to you, be objective. She's probably, or he's probably heard it all. Believe me. Ooh. And just say what you'd like to say, and have someone mediate it for you. There's no embarrassment here. A professional will, you know, be unbiased. Unless there's a lot of abuse or pain involved, they'll say, okay, you can't do that. You're done. Okay, so there you go. Okay, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and hopefully I helped. If you'd like to email me, have a question or comment or anything like that, we're doing a free-for-all Friday where I answer all your emails, as many as I can. You've written me at docmichelle@AOL.com. A lot of questions, a lot of issues, and I'm trying to, you know, I try to cover them as much as I can and help you out as much as I can. I always recommend that you get help from a professional, a therapist, a marriage family therapist, a psychologist, or if you have mood swings or some serious depressive issues, go see a psychiatrist. Ask your internist to refer you to a psychiatrist, so possibly you may need medication. I'm not a big advocate. I'm not a pill pusher, but I have seen people turn their lives around who have had major depressive disorder who are on antidepressants. And some people, that 30%, are non-resistant. I mean, they don't even have any results. So you have to see. But there you go. Okay. Dear Dr. Michelle, I don't think I have a poor self-concept. I feel pretty good about myself, but I just moved from Chicago and started attending UCLA in California. Well, good. Welcome. Welcome to Cali, girl. I know one other student from my high school who's attending here, but we never really hung out, and we have different types of friends. She was always considered the hottie who was popular. She never really tried to be my friend anyway, and I think she's kind of snobby, but I think she'll find more friends than me because she is phony and really pretty. Ooh, Lisa, come on now. Sound a little jealous there. Anyway, this is a big university, and it's easy for me to get lost in the crowd. How do I go about meeting people? Thanks, Miss Independent Lisa. Well, kind of sounds like you have some low self-esteem going on there, girl. You say it's really easy for me to get lost in the crowd. Indeed, it's a new school. You don't know anybody, and this is when you become a woman. Like you say, you're Miss Independent now. You know, if that's how you think about that lady, that other friend, well, she's not really a friend, who went to your high school and hangs out at UCLA now, maybe she will make more friends. You think she's phony? Whatever. That's cool. Whatever. Whatever. Maybe you have misread her. Maybe you never gave her a chance. Maybe she never gave you a chance. You might just try that. I've seen young ladies who really dislike each other, and then, you know, based on their looks, or based on friends and gossip and all that. And then when they finally get to meet each other and talk to each other, they hit it off. Because they have deep down inside a lot of the same fears. So you might check that out. But if you don't want to go there with her, you know, you got to get out there and start meeting other people. So it does involve some effort. And even if you are very attractive, which you probably are, passively waiting for others to throw themselves your way, it doesn't work. Right? It doesn't allow you to be very choosy. So here are some common sense approaches, which you may find helpful. These are just some ideas to help you get, you know, get moving out there and get social when you're in college. Put yourself in places where, you know, you're likely to find other people who share interests. Right? You'll meet a lot of new people in classes. You got to study. Right? Sporting events, if you like certain sports, restaurants, sometimes clubs. If you are interested in some kind of like an organization, if you want to volunteer, a lot of students, I don't know if you work, if you're having to work while you go to college, you meet some nice people at work. You know, you do some, like, charity service, volunteer, whatever. You might meet some people who you really click with. So, and once you're with people, you can initiate a conversation by asking a question. You know, you comment on the situation, ask their opinion, express some of your interest, show concern for other people. You've got to put it out there. I know you say here, I may be getting lost in the crowd. Now, don't, you know, it's okay. Just kind of work your way into kind of groups and clubs, and you'll meet people, like I said, in your classes. You'll start to get to know people. You'll hit it off. And once you've engaged somebody in conversation, let him or her know that you're listening and interested. You know, you can do the eye contact thing. Body language is really important. Reflect the feelings you hear. Oh, yeah, so, oh, wow, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that, paraphrase it, you know. If you don't understand somebody or you think you're assuming something negative about them, just clarify it. Don't be creepy or weird. Just be friendly. Be interested in what other people have to say. No risks, no gains. And do not be discouraged if, you know, you and the other person don't click first and every time. You don't have to be phony like this girl you said to, who transferred over to this college who you knew in high school that you never really clicked with. Just put out some effort that you really are interested in what somebody thinks or feels. You know? It just may start the ball rolling to get a friendship. When you got one friend, then they'll introduce you to more friends, and that's the way it goes. It's really important to try and have at least a few friends, too. Instead of, you know, you may cling to one person for a while, but then you start to spread your wings. It's really important to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why in just a little bit. All righty. Here's a good question. I like this one. By the way, if you want to email me, you can do so. We're doing Free For All Friday here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, and you and I don't have a psychological relationship. But I do, you know, give you some advice, suggestions, things to think about, little entertainment, hopefully, and let you respond to what I say and what some of the other people say. You know, I get some nasty responses from people saying, boy, that guy was dumb when he asked about what codependence is. Doesn't he know what it, you know, whatever, you can write me, that's cool. It's all right, love to hear it. Here we go. Dear Dr. Michelle, why do gays and lesbians stay hidden so much? One of my friends didn't tell me he was gay until after I had known him for a full year. Please help, Andrea. Well, you know the answer to that, right? Don't you? Well, the thing is lots of gays and lesbians stay hidden for much of all their lives because of homophobia. It's easy to see why. Family. Religions. A lot of religions don't allow for this, so they have to kind of stay hidden. You know? They want to counteract stereotypes and discrimination. So your friend probably had an upbringing that where he would feel condemned if he came out and you just finally found out. I don't know if you had a suspicion or whatever, but don't be angry. Understand that he probably didn't come out to you that he was gay because he was fearful. There's a lot of confusion with, you know, sexuality, especially when it comes to being a guy who's gay or a lesbian. You know, there's a lot of confusion sometimes. Ooh, what's going on? What, am I weird? You know, there's all this stuff. Despite the fact our society is so enlightened these days, not. And by the way, I just want you to know, Andrea, that your friend may not have felt certain of his sexual orientation when he first met you. So he decided to trust you, and he decided to bring you into part of his coming out, or his process of acknowledging and accepting and disclosing that he's gay. You know? So why don't you ask him? And ask him sweetly. Don't condemn. Why did he hold it from me? Don't be mad. Just say, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, from your point of view, yeah, if he's that good of a friend, ask him. You know, say, I'm just kind of wondering, were you feeling, you know, some trust issues? Were you fearful? Is that why you sort of didn't tell me originally you were gay? Just find out if you're really curious about it. You know, most of the people who have, say, come out, you know, have to come to terms with what the relatives and friends are going to say and what society's going to say. Some of the people are on the down low, you know, about their sexuality, and they still live gay lifestyles. They're not pretending necessarily, but they don't put it out there publicly. You know what I'm saying? It's more comfortable to them. I had a colleague who I worked with years ago. I was hosting a lifestyle psychological show on cable television, and he was a colleague working there, and he never had a woman come to any of the events. We always had publicity events, and you know, we do a lot of activities and a lot of parties, a lot of gatherings and things, and he was always alone. And he certainly didn't fit the stereotype as we see it in the media of a gay guy. Very, you know, very non-stereotypical. So, you know, a lot of us started to say, well, you know, what's going on with this guy? Does he not have girlfriends ever? You know, and we were there a long time. A lot of us worked together. But he's a very nice person, but very, very quiet about his personal life. Never talked about it. Never. So we started to suspect that maybe he was gay. And then this is really amazing, but it was about 10 years later, he finally came out. And he had a guy who he had been seeing, you know, in a committed relationship for like 10 years. It's really sad, but he had to kind of hide this guy from his parents because he had a very strong Catholic upbringing. And, you know, his sisters and his brothers, and it was very embarrassing for him. So they lived out on the East Coast, and he lived on the West Coast. And what happened was, what I found out was going on. Now, this is really interesting, and it's okay. It didn't bother me. But in a lot of the parties we had, a lot of the publicity events, he would make sure that he had pictures taken with me or one of the other women who was, you know, on the staff when we went out, and he'd send these pictures to his parents. What happened was he had this facade going on that I was one of his girlfriends for about a year with his parents. Here's me and Michelle. Here's me and Dr. Michelle. We're doing this, or we're out at this club, or we're here at this party with the radio or the TV station, and we're doing this. It was, you know, I found out about this because he invited me to a family gathering 10 years later when he finally came out. And his parents, of course, and family did accept him. And his mother brought me all these pictures she had saved of him and me at public events. And she said, wow, I thought you were his girlfriend for a year. What, you know, isn't that amazing? But all the while he was with this other guy. And I learned at that time that he was lying. That I was his girlfriend, which is okay. I mean, we weren't. We worked together. But it was sad that he had to put on this facade for so long. And that's, you know, that's what happens a lot of times, because it just is. So there you go. There's your answer, Andrea. I hope, you know, that I helped you out. Because here's the deal. But ask your friend. You know, ask your friend why he stayed and didn't ask you. It really will make you guys closer. Don't condemn him. Don't be mean. Don't be nasty. Don't accuse him like you're angry. Just say, you know, I'm kind of curious as to why you kept it quiet from me so long. I'm glad that you finally trusted in me to tell me, and I feel so much better about our relationship that you can do that. And I'm very flattered, but I'm just kind of curious. And then you'll get closer. When he tells you that, you guys will get immediately closer, which is great. Alrighty, we're just about wrapping things up here. This is Dr. Michelle, and you've been on the couch with me, as you always are, Fridays, 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time in the morning. And I have some great authors coming up. We're going to learn about relationship and sex issues. We're also going to be talking about dream issues in the upcoming shows. We're going to be talking about how your mind controls everything in your life. I love those kind of things, too. So anyway, if you would like to email me, respond to the show, if you have relationship questions, issues, go for it. You can find me at docmichelle@aol.com. That's my email address here with the radio station. Or, of course, you can find me on my website. It's drmichelle, drmichelletherapy.com. And there you go. So we've had another great day, and I thank you so much for emailing me. It's always great to hear from you. Yeah, there's my men. There's my music. All right. As I always do say, have a great day. And do take care of yourself first. work on yourself first, because then you won't be good for anybody else unless you don't. That's the reality of it. Keep it real, too. All right, have a great day. I'll talk to you next Friday, 11 o'clock in the morning, here on the world's most listened to talk radio station, LATalkRadio.com. And you can stay on the couch if you'd like. We've got more great shows coming up, though, and, of course, CBS News. Have a great day. Bye-bye.